us.
It's on, lit up, I don't know.
It's on, but ain't nothing coming out. I know it's hot. I told Brother Wakesell, I said, I'm already sweating. I ain't even preached yet. Well, I appreciate God's help last night. Amen. 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 And I know not only it's hot, but I know you're tired. You've been here last week and then last night, today. You got a couple more, 3 more days to go. So, I want you to turn with us tonight to Mark chapter 5. I try not to preach just as long as God will let me. I want to be conscious tonight of the Spirit of God. 3 years ago, I preached the opening bell that Taylorsville Baptist Camp Meeting. Prior to booking that meeting, Brother Steve had called me and asked me if I'd come, and I told him I'd be glad to preach the 2 o'clock service. That was before that we found out that my wife had cancer. I was in a meeting up in Spruce Pine, and we passed a little restaurant on the side of the road, and I said, I want to take you up there on Saturday, and we're going to eat supper at that little restaurant. Coming back, Brother Steve had called me, asked me if I'd come and preach the 2 o'clock meeting on Father's Day. But before that meeting rolled around, she was diagnosed with cancer. And about a week before I was supposed to go preach, and I called Brother Steve, or he called me, and I said, I don't think I can come. I just don't see how I can come, get up, and preach. But my wife said, I want you to go. Amen. And I want you to preach. Amen. Preach to those people. So today brought back a lot of memories.
Yeah.
Brought back a lot of memories. Of going and preaching on Father's Day. So I want you to, as I said, turn to Mark chapter number 5 tonight, and I want you to go down to verse number 25. And the Word of God said, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians, had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather it grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? His disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? He looked around about to see there that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and behold of thy plague. I want you to remain standing tonight. I'll ask the moderator if he would to pray for me right now.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for the privilege to get over this tabernacle tonight.
Yes.
To worship the true and living God. Thank you for the Holy Ghost, God, that's manifesting his presence.
Oh, God.
Now, God, we pray for your man. I pray you'd fill him with the Holy Ghost.
Oh, Jesus.
Lord, it's a dying man to a dying people, God. Touch our ears that we can hear, our hearts that we can understand and receive.
Oh, God. Thank you, Brother Ken. You can be seated tonight. If you will take time when you get home tonight and read the entire chapter, the fifth chapter of the book of Mark, if you will sit down tonight and take time and read that chapter, you will find in that chapter that there are three different cases that our Lord dealt with. First of all, there is the case of the demonic man that Jesus dealt with. Then there is the case of the diseased woman that Jesus dealt with. And then there is the case of the dead girl that Jesus dealt with. All three cases tonight are different. But I'm glad that we serve a God this evening that's able to take on any case, no matter how different that it is. One writer said, and I won't agree with him tonight. He said, when you look at Mark chapter number 5, it seems like that you're looking at a sea of casualties. Just like when a ambulance worker comes upon a scene and he views the circumstances. And the writer said, when you look at Mark chapter 5 and you see all of those scene of casualties, but Jesus is able tonight to take care of anything that comes his way. I know tonight that he's able to do that. And I want to preach tonight by the help of God for a few minutes on the thought, if I can only get to Jesus, if I can only get to him. I know sitting in this tabernacle tonight that they may be different cases like that there is in Mark chapter number 5. But if you can only get to him, if you can only get to where he's at, and we can get down and bring him down, brother, where we need him tonight, he's able to help you, and he's able to help me tonight. Where would we be if he wasn't able to take care of our case? If he wasn't able to take care of our problem? And certainly tonight in this vast crowd of people that's burning up because of the heat, aren't you glad tonight he's able to take care of your problem? I said there are three tonight different cases here in Mark chapter number 5 that I want to deal with right early tonight. But it's good to know whatever it is, Jesus can handle the problem. I want you to notice, first of all, in Mark chapter 5, and we need not read anymore, but in those verses tonight, in verses 1 through 20, there is the case of the demonic man. When you read that tonight, you know the story about this man, that he had his dwelling among the tombs. And there he lived, and there he went about every day with his dwelling among the tombs. Here is a man, I believe you'll agree tonight, a brother that had been possessed by demons. And can I tell you tonight, there is real as a pew you're sitting on. Brother, demons tonight, brother, possess people. They don't possess other things but people tonight. And this old boy had a problem with those demons tonight. I've run into people, and maybe you have too, that has that kind of problem. You say, preacher, that's not going on tonight. Yes, it is. Somebody ought to help me now. I mean, this old boy in Mark chapter 5, a brother had a problem and had a case for Jesus. But if you can only get to Jesus, he'll help you with your problem. I want you to notice some things tonight about this demonic man. I want you to notice in verse number 5, or 1 through 5, notice his slavery. The Bible tells us in verse number 3 tonight that he was homeless. It tells us in verse number 3 that he was helpless. In verse number 4, it says he was hopeless. And then in verse number 5, he was hurting. Does that sound like to me tonight? The people that's lost without God. Amen. Can I say they're helpless? And can I say tonight that they're hopeless? They have no Savior. That's the way I was before I found Jesus, or before he found me, rather. I was helpless and I was homeless and he was hurting. The Bible said this old boy was cutting himself with stones. That sounds to me like tonight the work of the devil. Am I right about it? And brother, I want to tell you, brother, not only his slavery tonight, but I want you to notice his Savior tonight. Amen. Notice, come a walking up a road. Brother Ken said about that lily of the valley. Amen. Now I'm hotter than you are, so talk back to me. Came a walking up a road, the lily of the valley. Amen. I want you to know he couldn't get to Jesus, but Jesus could get to him. I wasn't looking for him that night. I didn't go to church that night planning on getting saved. But thank God, I'm glad he come to church. I'm glad he come where I was at that night. Amen. I want you to notice his slavery. Thank God, notice his Savior. Amen. Look in verse number 6. The Bible said, but when he saw Jesus, he ran and worshiped him. Can't you imagine tonight? There's this old boy, and he'd been cutting himself, and he'd been living in the tombs. Nobody was to go by there because they're afraid of him. Nobody could bind him. Every time they'd bind him up, he'd break him apart and break him asunder. But came walking up a road that day is that lily of the valley. Come walking up a road. That day is a bright and the morning star. Come walking up that road is the one you sang about. He got up on the third day. I say, praise God. Brother, he might have been enslaved, but here come this Savior. Ain't you glad the morning or the day or the night your Savior came to you? I wasn't looking for him. Praise God, he's looking for me. And hallelujah, he found me that night. Amen. Let me tell you a story tonight, a personal illustration. I remember when I was 17 and a half years old, I went to church to pick up my first cousin. And I went there to get him on a Sunday afternoon. And we were going to go right around town that night. And I walked in that little church, and my uncle was preaching the Word of God. And I mean, he was anointed. And he come back to where I was at, giving the invitation. And he said, Doug, wouldn't you like to get saved tonight? And boy, I really needed to get saved. I mean, I really did. And I was about to step out and give my heart to Jesus. And the devil said, now you're playing in that rock and roll band. You're playing them drums and you're making good money. You've got your car. Everything's all right. But he said, if you go to that altar, you're going to have to give up all that, Brother Charles. And you know what I did? I walked out of that church, Brother Ken, and when I walked out of that church, the Holy Ghost left me like turning water off a spigot. And brother, for 2.5 years, I lived in fear. I was going to die and drop off into hell. And buddy, I'm glad tonight for the grace of God. I'm glad God kept me alive. And brother, 2 years later, the Holy Ghost came back to me. He said, I want to introduce you to the Lord Jesus Christ one more time. And I made that trip to the altar. They didn't have to pump me. They didn't have to prime me. They didn't have to pull me. Thank God I was ready to go. I'm glad tonight he came to where I was at. I'm glad tonight. Brother, he knowed I was needed saving. He knowed I was going to hell. Brother Tim, he came to me. Amen. I mean, I met the Savior. I got saved. I got saved so good, I can't hardly stand it. Amen. You feel that way? If you do, say amen. Now, if you don't say amen, I'm going to preach 2 hours. You say amen, I'll preach 30 minutes. There you go. There he is, the case of the demonic man. Oh, if we can just get to Jesus, gonna be all right. And so I put off getting saved. Then I went to church with my wife, which was my girlfriend, and she was saved and I wasn't. She said, if you want to see me on Sunday, you're gonna have to go to church. I went to church not because Brother Waitzel, I wanted to go, but I went to church because she wanted me to go. Amen. I mean, I was in love, buddy. I wanted to be with her. And I just went to church because she wanted me to come see her. And so I went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Nothing happened. Didn't feel the Holy Ghost. Didn't feel no kind of conviction. Didn't feel nothing until Brother Hugh Kincaid, Brother Doug was running revival down at Sunrise Church. And on a Sunday night, he started that revival on a Sunday night. I'm telling you, that Holy Ghost that had dealt with me 2 years later came back to me and said one more time, God has given you one more chance. And Jesus is a passing by. This may be your last chance. I'm glad, Brother Ken, he was waiting on me. I didn't have to go after him. Praise God, he come after me. And what do you know, brother? He saved me. And he put joy unspeakable and full of glory down in my soul and down in my heart. I'm glad tonight I'm saved. How about you? Amen. There is a case of a demonic man. Well, I'd have died and went to hell. It's sure what my name is. And you would have too. Amen. When you look at the case of a demonic man, you see his slavery. Then you see his Savior. Then you see his salvation in verse number 8. Oh, thank God. Look what he said in verse number 8. And he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked, what is thy name? And he said, and he answered and said, my name is Legion, for we are many. Thank God he got saved. Hey, brother, after he was in slavery, after he met the Savior, after he had been homeless, after he had been helpless, after he had been hopeless, thank God now he's a changed man. He's been saved, and God has did a work in his heart. Let me say tonight, there is the case of a demonic man, and Jesus dealt with that case. If I can only get to Jesus, if you can only get them people that are so mean and so unruly and so full of devil, if we could only get them to Jesus, we'll get them saved. Had to change them, won't it? Had to change them, amen. There is a case of a demonic man. But then I read in your hearing tonight the case of a diseased woman. Listen what the Bible says about her. Not only there's a case of a demonic man, but there's a case of a diseased woman. And we know that story in verse number 25. You find her condition. The Bible said that she was sick. Y'all help me now. She was sick. You don't know much about sickness till a loved one gets sick. About 9 o'clock this morning, my telephone rang, and a preacher friend of mine on the other end was crying uncontrollably. He said, "Preacher Doug, I need you." I said, "Son, what's wrong?" He said, "My wife has been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. It's in her liver. It's in her kidneys. It's in her lungs. And it's in her pancreas." I said, "My God, son, let me pray with you." I said, "I know where you're at. I know where you're coming from. I know how you're feeling." He said, "Preacher, if God don't touch her, she ain't gonna get no better." I said, "You're exactly right. But I'm glad that we're living in a time when God's able to touch those tonight." This woman tonight was sick. Notice her condition. She was sick tonight. This is what the Bible said in verse 25. We'll read it again in the fifth chapter of the book of Mark. "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood, 12 years, she was sick, an issue of blood." You know what? I learned a lot about blood when my wife was sick. I mean, they'd draw blood. I learned about free light change. I never heard that in my life, Brother Davis. I'd heard about white blood cells, red blood cells, heard about all these things in the blood. But I'm telling you, when they'd draw blood from my wife's arm, bruise her little arms, I found out more about the blood than I've ever known. And she had some kind of blood problem, this woman did. And one writer said that she was hemorrhaging and she looked like she couldn't take another step in front of her. She had bled like that for 12 long years, the duration of her sickness. And she went to doctor after doctor after doctor. Nobody could help her, Brother Tim. Nobody could help her. But I want to tell you, if you can get them to Jesus, but if it's His will, He's able to help them tonight. Am I telling it right?
Amen.
I say she is sick. She's a very sick woman. And the Bible said in that verse that she had that for 12 long years. And she wasn't getting any better, but rather she grew worse. Every day she grew worse. Not only she was sick, but look in verse number 26, she was suffering. Bible said she suffered many things, many physicians, and had spent all she had, but nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Not only she's sick now, but she's suffering. Oh, to see people suffer, to see people suffer will tear your heart out. It'll kill you to see those people suffer. My brother's up there in hospice, and I go by and look at him, see him suffer. And I can't hardly stand it because I'm just getting over one death. And here comes another. Precious lady in our church died the other day, stumbled and fell and hit her head, hit her temple, and her brain swelled, and I had to do her funeral. And her husband's here with us tonight. And I told him, "Come and go with us. He's here with us tonight." And when we had her funeral to church, I'm telling you, sickness tonight, if you're well, Brother Charles, if people's well, they ought to praise God. They ought to shout to victory tonight. You're in church. You're here at camp meeting tonight. And you're physically well. And you're saved by the grace of God. I don't care how hot it is. You ought to say, "Praise God. I'm a child of the King. I'm in good health tonight. My family's well. My church is well. I'm saved. Hallelujah tonight." You ought to praise God. Hallelujah. We think because we're a little bit hot, we can't praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If you was at a ball game, you would.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, you'd be praising God. You'd be drinking ginger ale and Kool-Aid and everything else. God knows what else you'd drink. You'd be hooping and hollering. And if you got good health, you ought to praise the Lord. She was suffering. She was suffering physically. Every day she woke up and there it was. She was suffering socially. And had no job maybe. And out on the streets maybe. She was suffering financially. Bible said she spent all she had. But did you know she was suffering religiously? The Levitical law proclaimed her unclean. You got to understand something tonight. She was suffering financially. She was suffering socially. Nobody had nothing to do with her. Everybody say she's unclean. Won't nothing to do with her. None of the doctors could help her. None of the doctors could. Well, that's a scenario, ain't it? Amen. That's the way it is. None of the doctors know what to do. If they don't know what to do, they'll send you to somebody else. They don't know what to do, they'll send you to somebody else. Am I preaching pretty close to where your corns are growing?
Amen.
They'll send you right back down the road to somebody else. And she'd went to this doctor and that doctor. And you know the story. But nobody could help her. And then above all that, the Levitical law has said she's unclean. And no preacher wanted to have nothing to do with her. I felt so sorry for a man one time in a camp meeting. Brother Davis, I felt so sorry for him. He had messed up his life. He had messed up his life. Brother Scott might have been there. I don't know. This guy had messed up his life. He had made some blunders. He had made some mistakes. But he said, I'd go to the altar. Wouldn't nobody go pray with me? He said, I couldn't get nobody to pray with me. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you something. That ain't Christian attitude. I don't care if they come to the altar every service. I don't care if they come to the altar every time you preach. I don't care if they come when they're singing. I don't care if they come back before the service is over. Somebody ought to go to pray with them. And the saddest thing in the world is when we think we're above brother helping somebody pray. He said, I couldn't get nobody to pray with me. I couldn't get nobody to gather around me. I can only imagine, Brother Billy, this lady tonight, this woman tonight, no doctors could help her. Nobody have anything to do with her. But she said, somebody told me about Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody got a word that Jesus was coming by. Praise God. I don't know how she heard about it, but the Bible said she heard about Jesus. Amen. Her condition, she was sick. She was suffering. But then notice her courage in verse number 27. Oh, if we can only get to Jesus. Verse 27 says, and when she heard of Jesus, what do you reckon she heard about Jesus? I don't know tonight. It doesn't say. Maybe she heard about the blind man. I don't know. That Jesus, as you sang about a while ago, made that spittle and put on his eyes. Maybe she'd heard about Lazarus being raised from the dead. I don't know. Maybe she'd heard about him turning water into wine. I don't know. But she heard about Jesus. And when she heard about Jesus, she said, I've got to get to him. If I can get to Jesus, I shall be made whole. And she had courage tonight. Not only her condition, but her courage. She said, oh, if I can only get to Jesus. Not only she heard, but she heeded. She came to him. And I can only see her tonight. I can only imagine tonight. As she gets to there, she not only had a curse problem, but she had a crowd problem. She couldn't get to him. But nobody let her get to him. And she just comes up behind him. And I know all about that hem of the garment. You preachers, I know all about that. But we're not going to go there tonight. But she said, if I can just touch the hem, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And she makes her way through the crowd. And I'll say this tonight. If you intend on getting to Jesus, you're going to get to him some way or another. Amen. How many boys had that guy laying on that stretcher and Jesus was in the house? You know what they done? They tore the roof up to get to it. They tore the roof off. You know what you need to do down at your church? Tear the roof off. Amen. Tear the roof off. Let people know, praise God, you're open for business. Tear the roof off. And they went up and there was obstacles there. And she had a crowd in front of her. But you know what? That didn't stop her. She said, if I can only get to him, I shall be made whole. And somehow or another, she made her way through that crowd. And she was weak. She was weary. And maybe she was trembling. But praise God, fellas, she made it to him and touched the heel. Just reached out and touched the heel. And she said, if I touch the heel of that garment, I can get to Jesus, I'll be all right. And if you can get to Jesus, you'll be all right. He'll help you. He'll help me. He's already helped me. And he's already helped you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Just get to him. And she got to him. And she just touches him. The hem of his garment. All of a sudden, the Lord turns around and says, who touched me? Why, you see this crowd that's in here tonight? If you'd go to walking down the aisle when we dismiss, you're going to be in a hurry to get out of here, ain't you? You're going to be in a hurry to get in that air-conditioned car. You try to speak to somebody and people's rubbing up against you. People's touching you all around. You're going to whirl around and say, I want to know who the rascal is that touched me. You better watch Waitzel Beard because he's the corporate. He's the one. But all these people around you, and then you say, who touched me? But he said, I feel that virtue has gone out of my body. She just touched the hem of the garment. And you know what that says? Immediately. You know these happy boys on television? You know what they say? They say, hang on for a week or two. It's coming. Hang on for a week or two. It's coming. There ain't a bit of scripture for that. Am I preaching well? There ain't a bit of scripture for that. But I tell you what I find over and over again. I find the word immediately. When he touched that man, he came for sin. When she touched his garment, immediately, brother, the fountain of her blood was dried up. Amen. She got to him. The blind man got to him. And the demonic man said, I come to worship him. And he bowed down. The demons on the inside bowed down. And brother gave him worship because he is the Son of God.
Amen.
Amen. So there is her courage tonight. And then there's her contact. She made contact. The fountain of her blood was dried up. But you know what blesses me? It says she felt in her body that she was healed. I'm going to tell you something that'll blow your mind. It may not, but it did mine. Blow your mind. We really don't believe God can do what he says he'll do sometimes. That man that was preaching the night that I got saved, Brother Hugh Kincaid, was pastoring a church, and a man had already been diagnosed with a tumor in his stomach the size of a grapefruit. They were going to operate on him on Thursday morning, already being diagnosed with a tumor in his stomach. He said on Wednesday night, we gathered around the altar and we had prayer for him. Y'all still believe in that over here, don't you? You say, well, we don't anoint with oil. Well, I do it high right. Amen. There ain't a thing in that oil just being obedient. That's what James says. Some of you preachers scared of that, ain't you? They don't bother me, Brother Doug. I do what he says. Amen. They come to me and say, preacher, I want the elders of the church and I want you to anoint me with oil in the name of the Lord. He said, we prayed for that man on Wednesday night. We prayed for him. That man told this. He said, I was laying there in the bed and he said, I felt something roll out of me and roll on the floor. He got up and looked under the bed. He said, I got up and I looked. I couldn't find nothing. I couldn't see nothing. He said, I felt it roll out of me and roll on the floor. But he gets up. You say, preacher, you're pulling my leg. I'm just telling you what Preacher Kincaid told me. And I believe what Preacher Kincaid said. I believe what that man said. And he said he couldn't find it. The doctor come back in there. What do you call them guys that put you to sleep? Anesthesiologist. I said, it's something like that. I like your answer. Spell it. I'm coming here to put you to sleep. He said, wait a minute. Just hold it. He said, I won't see the doctor. He said, sir, the doctor's already scrubbed and waiting on you. Gonna take you down, cut that tumor out. He said, don't have it no more. If you can't shout, I can. Glory. He said, I want you to know that doctor's ready for you to have surgery. He said, I want another x-ray. I want another MRI. That doctor come in there and said, son, what's wrong with you? He said, doctor, I don't have that tumor no more. Amen. What you tell me? He said, that thing rolled out of me last night. He said, where's it at? He said, I don't know, but it rolled out of me. Hallelujah. Amen. I said, if you can only get to Jesus. But he shall be made whole. They took that old boy down. They did another MRI. They did another x-ray. And the doctor come back up there. He said, son, I don't know where it's at. I don't know where it went. Said it ain't in there no more. Can I say glory to God? But he's able tonight. If you could only get to Jesus. If you could only get to Jesus. Hallelujah. So you Baptists, we Baptists quit breathing. Quit believing that. Amen. My daddy, if you know what psoriasis is, my daddy had a severe case. The most severe case of psoriasis any man's ever had. My daddy didn't have a little spot here, a little spot there, a little spot in his eyebrow. My daddy had psoriasis from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. My daddy was a solid cake of psoriasis. Psoriasis looks like leprosy. Big red places with scaly stuff. My dad would come home from work, pull up his pants leg, scratch his legs, and my mom would come by with a dustpan and sweep up maybe 5 gallons of scales. Jack Holland. How many remember Jack Holland? Pastor Winkler's Grove Baptist Church in Hickory. Jack Holland came to my house one day and I was 13 years old. Him and Johnny Ellis, which was my uncle, and a few more other preachers. Jack Holland said this, Waitzel. He said, Tom, God sent me up here to pray for you. My mama said, Doug, come on here and pray. I said, I don't know how to pray. I'm 13 years old, mean as a devil. I didn't know how to pray, but I'm telling you, there was old men of God, but they got a hold of God. I was afraid to move. I was afraid to talk. They got a hold of God, Raymond. They prayed the power down. My daddy was one solid sore, but you know what? That stuff went off of him. He was as clear. He was as smooth as a newborn babe was. You say, preacher, what done that? What done that? I'll tell you what done that. The man called Jesus, amen. They took him to the throne of grace. And I want to tell you something tonight, brother, if you can only get to Jesus, I don't care what your case is. If it's a demonic man, he's able to help you. If it's a diseased woman, he's able to help you too. I can only get to Jesus. But there's one more case there that he had to solve. That's the case of the dead girl. 12 years old, I think. 12 years old, Jairus' daughter. Oh my. Jairus had already went to him and asked him about coming, seeing his daughter. She was sick. But Jesus had all this other stuff going on. By that time, she died. So they go to him and said, trouble not the master. I'm just trying to fast forward. I'm just trying to help you. I'm trying to be a blessing to get you out of here. I know when I'm cut off. So she dies. And Jesus said, she's not dead. She's only asleep. That case of the demonic man was nothing to him. That case of a diseased woman was nothing to him. And he goes in there and that little girl is dead. And they begin to laugh at him. And he puts them all out. And he says unto her, Dapest, I say unto thee, arise. And brother, you know what happened? She sat up, amen. She rose up. Thank God. You say, preacher, you believe God can raise the dead? He raised Lazarus, didn't he? He raised this young lady, didn't he? Amen. And brother, I want to say that man that was demon possessed, he needed a release. And the woman that had an issue, she needed to be restored. But this young lady tonight, she needed a resurrection. Amen. There are some people in this building tonight that need a release. There are some people in this building tonight that needs to be restored. But Brother Ken, I don't know if ain't some people in here that don't need a resurrection. She needed a resurrection. And Jesus says, I say unto thee, arise. She got up. She got up. I believe I'll quit right there. What do you say? Whatever you have tonight. Well, you say, preacher, I'm not demon possessed. Well, no, you're probably not. But the devil bothers you, don't he? Huh? He'll never possess you, but he'll sure oppress you. Huh? I'm going to ask the musicians to be making their way. I feel like I need to quit right there. Preacher, if I can only get to Jesus, the devil has really told me that I'm not even saved. And he's told me that God didn't even love me. And he's told me that preachers didn't love me. He'll tell you all kind of stuff. And he's a bothering you, and he bothers me. You don't know what I've been carrying for the last 5 months. You don't know what the devil says in the wee hours of the morning. Puts all that doubt and all that stuff in your mind. You just don't know. And I hope you never find out. But I want to tell you something tonight. But you can get him on the run. You can get him on the run. Somebody say, preacher, how you get him on the run? Take that word of God. Tell him what that word says. And those of you in the building tonight that the devil's been on you, some of you preachers, he worried you to death. Worried you to death. I want somebody play something, sis. I want you to stand tonight. Give me this pulpit mic, Brother J.D. How about it? Would you bow your head just a minute? Here's the stories. First story tonight of a demonic man. And you're in the building tonight. And boy, Satan has bothered you all week in this camp meeting. That's right. That's right. He's bothered you. And then there's some of you tonight that fit the case of that diseased woman. You got to go to the doctor. I've got some people right here tonight. I'm husband and wife. One's going to the doctor one day and one's going to the doctor the next day. I don't know who I'm talking to tonight, but maybe you're here and you got a bad report. We'd go to the hospital go to the doctor every week, twice a week. Church members would call and say, what kind of report did you get today? There's some men in this building, there's some women in this building that's got a bad report. Preacher, I'm worried about this little place. But honey, I want to tell you, he can restore you tonight. There's several made their way this altar. You may need a release tonight. You may need a restoration. And you may need a resurrection. I want to ask those of you tonight, say, preacher, I just feel like I need to come because
I don't know what's going on. Why the devil's bothering me? Why that I feel that things are going on in my body? This God touched this woman when she touched Jesus. Then the dead girl needed a resurrection. You've got boys and girls, you've got family members tonight that are lost and you're not up here praying for them. I'll ask you tonight, at the close of this Sunday night meeting, would you come while they play? Would you come kneel in this altar tonight? Three cases he dealt with. That's right. Whatever your case is, he can handle it tonight. That's right. God bless you. Whatever it is, he can help you tonight. They're still coming. They're still coming. That's right. Coming down the aisles. Oh, God, have mercy, Jesus. Oh, God. Whatever your case is, that's right. God bless you. God bless you. If I can only get to Jesus. Well, why don't you come? Talk to him. Amen. Keep coming. Keep coming. Preachers, if you need to come, don't be ashamed. Come. If the devil's fighting your church by the acre, don't be ashamed. Come. He can take care of that case. Three cases. Three different things Jesus handled. Oh, God, help us tonight.